Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am Cheryl Glick, your host, and with us today is Sarah Wiseman, author of Writing the Divine. Hello, Sarah.
Oh, hi, Cheryl. Nice to be here back with you.
Well, I want our audience to remember that not long ago you were on this show discussing another of your new books, Your Psychic Child. And Sarah is a specialist and a member of the International Association for Near-Death Studies and is an award-winning singer-songwriter for the band Martyrs of Sound. And in the last 7 years, Sarah has become aware of many new spiritual abilities and gifts and is sharing them today with our audience. She will be discussing somewhere into the show how so many changes came in such a short time. As our listeners already know, Healing From Within is a radio show designed to establish techniques and new ways to use and merge both our energetic being or presence with our physical life in order to achieve a higher state of peace, wellness, productivity for ourselves and others. And who wouldn't want to take part in that advancement? I am so grateful to have you, Sarah, on the show today, and I am also very fortunate to have been continually joined by leading professionals in the field of health, psychology, spirituality, business, education, sports, religion, entertainment, and the arts. And the purpose is to share our hopes for a more compassionate and loving world. And in today's episode, we will explore a form of internal communication that is possible for all of us who wish to establish a direct connection to God, the divine, the universe, the source, or any name we choose when speaking about the infinite presence of our life force. And this communication is a source for also understanding our duality as both physical and beings of energy, and using this truth to improve our lives. This communication is sometimes called channeling. Sarah, can you tell us what channeling is and a little bit about the history of channeling? I know many people are very confused about this concept.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I think most people today are probably familiar with the type of channeling that somebody like Esther Hicks or the person who channels Seth does, where they kind of move aside and an entity comes and speaks through their body. This is a type of channeling that's been going on for, I don't know, centuries. But there's also a kind of channeling that you can do in channeled writing, so that it's not coming out through your own voice, but it's coming out through your pen, or even sometimes through your thoughts. It's a way of moving aside and letting the divine entity use you as a conduit for often spiritual teachings or important messages that aren't only meant for you, but usually have a bigger meaning. So they're meant to help many, many people all at the same time. Early channelers were the spiritualists, which were about turn of the century, around that time, and they would often channel the departed. But what we're seeing more nowadays is people channeling advanced entities and spiritual masters. It's like a part of our evolution has shifted who we're receiving from.
Absolutely. Sarah, let me say this to you, because maybe the audience will understand if I explain this. I was told by a medium from Lilydale, you know, Lilydale is a summer learning facility at near Buffalo, New York, where people go for studies of higher consciousness. And I was told that I was to meditate and write down all the information that was coming through before each energy healing session. And as time went by, I received increased amounts of information, and I found the language was often so artistic and beautiful and compassionate that I knew I might be. At that point, I was only thinking I might be channeling a wiser, loving soul in spirit. Well, Well, I did not see my guide. I was aware of the presence of energetic souls always moving around me, and during meditation often saw them clairvoyantly, though not actually physically. Sarah, I believe only 4% of psychics or mediums actually see spirit. Any thought on that statement?
Well, you know, it's interesting. When I was first I was a channel and I received from guides. And then later, as my psychic abilities opened further, I got interested in mediumship and started to do that too. And I worked with a wonderful gentleman, a spiritualist minister in San Francisco, Reverend Drew Voigt, to help me sort of get over the fear of the mediumship. And it was so funny because I said, Drew, I don't want to see them in the room. And he goes, just close your eyes. And I just started laughing because it's kind of a choice. I'm a bit of a scaredy cat. I have seen guides in full, you know, palpable, more of the true physicality of the guides. But my preference is that's just a bit too much of the woo-woo. I don't know. It's a bit much for day-to-day usage. So my preference is to see them in my mind's eye. It just kind of takes the edge off what's actually happening.
I function the same way as you do, channeling, mediumship, psychic, energy healing. I mean, we have many, many spiritual gifts, and as we use them, they are evolving and new experiences come forward. Because I have found in channeling very often messages for a client, the first message and the last message go together. If I do two pages of a reading, the first and last go together, and they give more of a continuity and more of a way for the people to understand what's actually coming. Now, that wasn't always so. And also, when I get messages, sometimes very shortly after, I will see a commercial, pick up a book, see a magazine, and there is exactly what I saw, felt, or sensed is there in the picture and will give more information. Now, this wasn't actually so at the beginning either. So what I want our guests and our listeners to know is that as we evolve and we open up and are aware of allowing spirit to work with us, our energies change and shift, and we are able to work in different ways. And I was a scaredy cat too, and I have not seen spirit yet, but I have students of mine who do, and I have others who say to me, I don't want to see it, just like you said. So I'm at this point of allowing and accepting whatever happens, as it will be for our highest good, and ultimately, hopefully, do no harm to anyone, as you say in the book, and we will go on to continue to grow and utilize all the gifts, and we don't even know what's available yet because we are changing so rapidly in these times. So let's go on to another concept here. Sarah, in your book, you discuss some of the similarities and differences between prayer and meditation and channeling, and they are all useful practices for making a connection to higher energy. But people seem to think they're one and the same. Can you discuss these practices for a moment?
Yes, thank you. And I must admit that from the time that I wrote the book, which was, you know, a few years ago that I was writing it, till now, my views have even evolved further. And I think that's interesting, just as I've progressed further. So prayer is so useful. It's a beautiful practice, but really prayer is more about bringing your requests or bringing your gratitude to the divine. So that's fantastic, and I think if you're a person who prays, you should continue to pray. If you pray in a religion, that's wonderful. If you just pray on your own, that's wonderful too. Any kind of outreach to the divine is a fantastic thing. meditation is often a technique, you know, it's more Eastern based. And what I find in meditation is that people are able to, I call it like locking into the hum. They go very far out from the physical plane, up many, many what I call layers and levels of dimension or consciousness into this beautiful place of bliss. Now, that's completely useful. It's really good for healing. It kind of resets your whole brain and physicality. But it's not the best place to gather intuitive information. When you go that far out, like 800 universes away in meditation, you can't really understand language and meaning the same way we do in our physical bodies. So this idea of channeling, I also call it receiving. That seems to be a word that more people are comfortable with sometimes. You're only going a couple levels or layers out from your physical self, and that's this beautiful, it's like the psychic sweet spot where you can completely have a two-way direct connection with the divine, where you can, you know, call them up and they call you back, and you can have this, you know, interface that's very understandable and very useful, you know, when you're trying to make decisions and figure out your life. And it's just this other layer that makes information gathering really simple. And that's why I think it's a really strong component of the intuitive process.
Thank you, Sarah. That was a really good explanation of the three ways to work with the energy. And most of us are doing some of that at some of the time. And we're not always, well, you and I are, but many people are not aware of when it's coming in and when they're sending out intentions or asking to manifest certain things. So in learning to understand these concepts, we can also learn how to use the energy and to grow and to get help and assistance at any time, anywhere. Many people think you have to be in a church or listening to music or whatever one thinks of in order to connect to the divine, or need religious figures to help us connect. But the truth is, we can assess the divine energy at any time, anywhere. Mm-hmm. All we need to do is just ask and mm-hmm. to wait and to feel it come to us in the peace and the love that will resonate through us at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah, you may be aware of Oprah's last show. She just did her after 25 years. Well, over the years, I observed her, and I often wondered if she was intuitive, psychic, or channeling, as her shows and many of the talented guests who address so many worldwide issues were trying to lift the consciousness of the people to a state of connection to spirit. But she didn't really talk about it. So I wasn't really sure, but her motivation did seem to be to help create an improved human condition. But in her last show, I did get to see it, and she did openly many times thank God or spirit for help in allowing her to be of service. Those were her words, to be of service. Mm-hmm. Whatever tools and spiritual gifts she was blessed with, I want to say this here. She made the choice to be personally connected and aligned to the will of the divine. And I'm sure that has made her the wonderful messenger of 25 years of work, giving so much to the public. And that's why she was so successful. But she didn't really talk about it that much. She just did it. So she has helped bring that sense of faith and vision to so many. And I would like all the listeners out there who are doing the spiritual work and being of service to others to know they really are loved by spirit. And it really doesn't matter what others think of this devotion and love to the divine, because many people are intimidated by others saying, you believe in that nonsense and you're doing this. And what I'm saying is their devotion to loving what is divine is a personal choice and a beautiful one. And also in your book, Sarah, you mentioned in your book that so many people using psychic and spiritual gifts are helping themselves and others, but not in a large and grandiose way such as Oprah and other visible public personalities. Yet they are recognized by spirit for the work they do, and they are honored and respected. And I want them also to remember even the smallest good deed, if it's done with the right intention, is better than the greatest intention not done.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Yes, I completely agree. So I think this idea of Oprah and her great connection with Source is probably a word she might use, and her ability to recognize Eckhart Tolle's work for, you know, what it was, and just all the things she did. You know, we may not all be Oprah, but we all have influence in our own personal spheres, even if this is, you know, just our small family. Those people who are really counting on you, if that's your sphere, or if you're a business owner, those people are counting on you. And of course, we're all not just connected. We're all one divine body. That's a lot of what the channeled writing in the book talks about. Is it's like repeatedly they say, we are one. We are one. They don't say we are two or three.
We are a million energy, one divine being. We're all aspects of the same divine energy we came from and returned to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But let's go on for a minute to something else. How can we help others to learn to clear their body and begin to understand the way to channel, so many more people out there can receive information with clarity and use it to help themselves make wise choices in their everyday life? And if they do nothing else but use this information to help them be healthier, more loving, enjoy every experience going on, help their family and businesses, then it will be enough. Then it will absolutely be enough. So what do they have to do to clear their body and prepare to channel and receive information?
The only thing they really, anyone has to do, you don't have to have a certain kind of brain, you don't have to have a certain profession or be a certain gender or race or age or whatever it is, the only thing you have to do is ask. That is the number one and only requirement. You ask to receive, and then you just listen to what comes. And maybe at first, you think, oh, nothing happened. You know, I don't get it. I didn't hear anything. I didn't see the giant angel, you know, appearing in my living room. But start this asking process a few times, and you will be very surprised by the things that start to open up for you. It might at first be synchronicities. It might be a little voice in your head that's kind of a new voice. And at first you might think it's your higher self or your, you know, more mature self. But after a few times of that, you're going to realize that it's actually a divine voice helping to guide you. So the book goes through step by step, a very simple process of how to do this, but it's all about having the desire to connect in this way.
Well, you know,
asking.
Yes, Sarah, actually that's how this all began for me. I was maybe having a midlife crisis,
I've had those.
You could relate, and most people can.
Yes.
Sometimes
yes.
It happens in the 30s. Sometimes it happens in your early 40s. You know, this is how it started for me. I actually was having a bit of a midlife crisis, and I remember I was talking to fire up, but not really. It was just talking to myself, actually. I wasn't really religious or even aware that I was that spiritual at that time. And is this all there is to life? I think there must be more. And if there was more, if there is more, I would like more and I would like to do more. I would like to be more and do more. And shortly after that, certain people started to come into my life, and I became aware of coincidences, and I started to write them down. And it wasn't too long before I realized there was no way this was happening without a higher force coordinating and bringing all these factors together. Now, personally, I had always thought of God as a philosophical concept, a beautiful thought to help people alleviate fears of a physical life, sickness, death, you know, financial problems. And I was a very practical and methodical physical being. And I sometimes thought that some of the people who were so religious were losing out on using the physical world to their advantage and advancing intellectually. So I had this divide here, intellectual, religious, spiritual, or being very immaterial of the world. And I couldn't really see how they worked together. But little by little, as teachers and books came into my being and my own opening happened, I realized that it was because I did just what you said. I asked. I asked to know more and be more. And I know, Sarah, that we all have these wonderful spiritual gifts that are waiting to be opened. Some people receive more than others because simply they want to work with the energy more consistently, and they accept it. And it's like any talent or skill. What do we say? Practice and more practice helps us develop fully. So, Sarah, in your book, you talk about some of these gifts that are also channeling tools. Gifts that are not only channeling tools, but they're used in many aspects of our life. For example, a medical intuition skill or distant healing or energy healing. Can you think of some others?
Yeah, well, I think once you begin to enter into receiving from the divine, receiving divine guidance, the divine starts to go in and start, and by divine I just mean this big sense of source that I don't have another word for, and divine seems to be a word that doesn't offend too many people.
Well,
so
perhaps
it's a big word.
Well, perhaps it's this level of information, energetic projection of information, where every thought and every being has been retained, much like a computer that retains information forever and ever. So it's out there in this dimension. And as we learn to channel, we ask questions and we're able to receive information from that level of energy.
Yes, and some people talk about like a, you know, they might call it the Akashic Records. It's fine, whatever terminology you
use. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, whatever, when you start to receive from there, you sort of get reset in terms of your vibration. You sort of get often downloaded with a whole bunch of metaphysical or cosmic information, and it really begins to shift you. And then you find that, you know, being able to scan someone's body and see where their energy is off, and that's a very simple thing to do. Medical intuition isn't separate from channeling. It's just part of the skills. Or being clairvoyant isn't separate. It's just the continuum, speaking or communicating with the departed and receiving messages, energy healing. It's all like, it's all this giant continuum of how energy works. Now, I'm a really great channeled writer, and as a medium, I'm like, maybe like a B, you know, like I'm not an A, I'm a B. And it's similar to how I'm really good with, I was like the English type person in school and not so much the math and science. It's like we all have our natural abilities in practical earth world, And similarly, our psychic or intuitive abilities are going to cluster, you know, if you're a very physical person, you're probably going to be an energy healer. If you're a very mental person, you're probably going to be a clairvoyant. Those types of things, our abilities sort of cluster with how we already are set up in terms of our natural, you know, talents that we're born with. But it's really, it's pretty endless what you can do once you start to.
Well, I'm going to say that you and I are both working at a level of using all these different techniques.
Yes.
But you are right that we will be called by spirit to use one or maybe two to the maximum. But we receive the information in all ways, clairvoyantly, clairaudiently, clair in our bodies, clairsentience, and smells, and it's coming in at all different ways.
Yeah, I don't get smells very well, and I did a workshop yesterday where one woman, all she got was smells. She's like, there's a rose smell, there's a hot dog smell. Yeah,
yeah,
it's great.
I get a lot of them. But just we're talking about medical intuition for a moment. I want to give a little example because sometimes the people listening hear words, but they don't really know how it works. So as an energy Reiki, energy healer, that's what I began with, and that's how I began to feel and understand the shifts in the energy. But let me give just a little story here. I had a client, and I had worked on her many times. And on this particular day, I felt a great deal of pain in her right foot, but it was tremendous pain. Mm. And I asked her if she had any pain, and she said no. So I suggested, because we can't diagnose, we can only get a feeling and sense and then ask someone to take it to the next level. So I suggested that she see her foot doctor. And she did, and he took an X-ray, and there was a growth in the nerve. And it had not yet started to manifest, but it was taken care of before it would have become the problem.
Wonderful.
Right. So, people, you tell some of these stories, and they can't understand how that's possible. Well, it's possible because some people are sensitive enough to energy, to thoughts, to people's behavior and reactions, and are allowing themselves to grow at this level without fear. You see, if I had fear, I wouldn't have said anything to her. I would have just done the Reiki and I would have. But no, I have a great concern for the well-being of anyone who seeks help from spirit. I'm not concerned for what might happen to me because I know there's no failure. There's only a suggestion. We act on that suggestion. And what would have been the worst thing? Maybe she would have had nothing there and she would have said, you know, Cheryl, there was nothing there. But there was something there. Thank you, Sarah, for your presence on Healing from Within today. And for more information on Sarah Wiseman and her three new books, go to www.sarahwiseman.com. In summarizing today's show, let me just say that many of us realize that we are on this planet for our soul's growth. And as we become closer to what is and has always been there for us, higher spiritual energy and the divine laws of the universe, we can manifest what we need for a successful physical life. We will and can achieve peace in heaven on earth and feel happier, safer, and allow ourselves to have a more open and trusting heart. I am your host, Cheryl Glick of Healing from Within. And for more information on energy healing, psychic development, and to listen to other prominent speakers in the field, go to the radio page of my website, www.cherylglick.com. Please join me for part two with author Sarah Wiseman, author of Writing the Divine.